Good morning. Welcome, everyone. Thank you all for coming from far and wide. The Luchmans even brought a guest from Vancouver. And Baruch Hashem, this is really the theme of the month of Adar, of connections between Jews from everywhere. Really? Okay.
Vancouver to Miami.
So, it's very interesting. I don't remember in other years shiurim evolving like this. But really this year it evolved the shiurim. One shiur led to another shiur, led to another shiur. They're all on different topics, but they were connected. All right, Berger, you get credit. We gave a shiur about parking next to a shul, which led to an issues about driving recklessly. We had shiurim about tzitzis that led to tefillin. Last week we had a shiur about Rav Gussman. And Baruch Hashem, it was well received. I had calls this week from Talmidim Rav Gussman that were very into the shiur last week. And really, this shiur is a spinoff of that, which I'll get to later. There is some story about Rav Gussman that really inspired the shiur this morning, too. Now, we titled today's shiur, again, the term, the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek. Okay? Vamevin Yavin, what that means. Is it relevant today? Is the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek something which is relevant today? And a tie-in, which really got me going when I decided on Thursday morning when I was up in Orlando that, okay, this is where we're going to give a shiur this week, really was literally the final blow in deciding what the shiur is, the Makom HaPatish, was when it started getting publicized that the anti-Semites around the world labeled this Shabbos as the Day of Hate. And, you know, Baruch Hashem, Bli Ayin Hara, you know, Jews, we got through the Shabbos and we didn't really hear of much issues. I heard it brought a few extra people to some synagogues in Manhattan.
Temple but Emmanuel had 75 people show up for Shabbos.
Lamaisa.
You cannot make this stuff up.
Yeah. You know, but it's eerie. It's eerie. It's funny. You know, the meme that was going on last night after most, you know, Baruch Hashem, Shabbos went without issues. People said that the Day of Hate was pushed off to the 13th and the 14th of Adar. And that President Biden says Jews are allowed to defend themselves. I'm not sure he would say that. But the concept, you know, that we know as Jews, Halacha Esav Sone Es Yaakov, B'chol Dar V'Dar Omdim Olein L'Chaloseinu, these aren't, you know, concepts in the Gemara that you think, nice theoretical concepts. Unfortunately, we get reminders every so often that doesn't matter what you look like, whether you look like a Hasidic person who was featured in the article in the New York Times, or if you affiliate with modern orthodoxy and the YU, you also make it to the cover of the New York Times. They hate all of us. And it's a fact of life. And interestingly, there's this mitzvah of Mechias Amalek. The Torah describes that Amalek, this nation, has a sinna for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Unlike anyone else, there are Goyim, and then there's Amalek. Amalek's on a different plateau than everyone else. There's a history the Torah talks about. Amalek was the first nation to attack the Jews after the Jews went through the miraculous Yetzias Mitzrayim, and there was an awe that the world had, and nobody wanted to mess with the Jews. Nobody except Amalek. So that was the beginning of the battles with Amalek. We know the Purim story, which we're coming up to. Agag, the great-grandfather of Haman, was supposed to be wiped out. And unfortunately, there was a failure at that time in Jewish leadership of being fully Mekayim in the midst of Mechias Amalek. And that really gave us Purim. And all the dangers and the potential tragedies that Purim would have brought about really came from the lack of taking seriously enough this commandment of Mechias Amalek, of a misunderstanding of this commandment, Mechias Amalek. And therefore, today, we're trying to deal with this topic of Mechias Amalek, of is it relevant today? If it's a mistake that was made generations earlier that led to big problems, so, okay, is there any relevance for us today with this mitzvah? That is my first part of my introduction. I mentioned that Rav Gussman, who we spoke about last week, tremendous, tremendous tzaddik, the sweetest of people, as portrayed the story of the garden, the story of how he interacted with this Professor Alman, who was sitting Shiva. So many amazing things. Yet this same Rav Gussman, when he was a partisan fighting in World War II, escaping the Nazis, there's one story which I confirmed with the Talmud, that yes, he said he didn't hear it straight from Rav Gussman, but other Talmidim in Yeshiva did. Where Rav Gussman described how one point in his fleeing, he came across a Nazi, and he was sure that this Nazi was from Amalek, and he literally disposed of him with his bare hands. And after the exchange, he proudly told colleagues, "I was just mekayim the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek." That's the story. Obviously, you know, you can't understand what people are going through during the war, but this is something which a great individual of Gussman, it's a famous story that he expressed. So we'd like to look into today the halachic side of that. Where's the permissibility? Where does that come from? Is that a kiyum of it? Additionally, there's a concept, there's a mechilta, which I'll show you later, which says that Amalek cannot ever marry into the Jewish people. Amalek cannot join the Jewish people. Now that leads for a very interesting halakhic issue. What happens if someone from quote-unquote Amalek wants to be Megayer? They want to become a convert. Based on the Mechilta, sounds like we would not allow them. So depending on who qualifies as Amalek, we might have practical halachic nafkaminas of Geirus. If someone that fits into the category of Amalek wants to join the Jewish people, could we turn them away? So I'd like to touch on all these topics in today's shir, and we might find out some interesting new halachas. Yes?
Is being Amalek hereditary?
So we're going to talk about that. Is it a very clearly defined nation, hereditary, which if you follow this to that, you become that, you're an Amaleki? Yes, we'll talk about that.
It's interesting how terrible Nazis' children could become. We've seen that.
Yes, okay. Yes. So we will talk, you know, about such cases. You know, would we accept a German, you know, a Nazi, grandfather of a Nazi, could be Megayer. Yes, we could talk about that.
Those are my
So we will talk about that. Yes. Yes.
Seems like that's not a unanimous. Yes.
So we will get to all these issues very soon. First thing, first spot. The first spot that I would like to go is the sheet of the chinuch. Let's start from there. It's actually the third Maror Makom on the sheet, Os Gimel. The chinuch writes, it's in mitzvah Tav Reish Dalet, the mitzvahs of Mechias Amalek. For the record, very interesting, it seems through the ages, this Sefer HaChinuch was censored. And when you see what I'm talking about, you'll understand why. Now, Art Scroll has a mitzvah Sefer HaChinuch translated to English, a nice volume. There are other Sefer HaChinuch, one of the most classic bar mitzvah gifts. They'll give a kid, you know, the Sefer. But I didn't check the Art Scroll English version, what they do. But lines of the Sefer HaChinuch actually was censored because of this topic. But the Sefer HaChinuch writes, he writes, Yesh mitzvah kol yachid v'yachid. The mitzvah of mechias amalek, of wiping out amalek, falls on every individual person. And the Minchas HaChinuch, in explaining the Sefer HaChinuch, right, in parentheses they bring down here that many early versions of the Chinuch, like I said, was censored. So they have a discussion about David HaMelech, killing this person, the Ger HaMoleki, the Navi refers to. David HaMelech killed a person defined as the Ger HaMoleki. So easily, according to the Sefer HaChinuch, the Minchas HaChinuch explains, you could justify that because every individual person has a responsibility, Mechias HaMalek. If he understood that this person was Amaleki, then he fits into that category. And that's why David HaMelech disposed of him. Yes?
So if I'm on Chassar Shalom on my deathbed, and I've never killed a person in my life, do I have to ask Mechila that I never did this?
Okay, well, we'll get there. We'll get there. Now, I said, this is a loaded chair today, pun intended. Now, that's the chinuch. The chinuch is a rishon, a major rishon. But let's take a look at the Rambam on top of the page. The Rambam, this is at, the Rambam is actually at the end of his Sefer HaMitzvos, where he goes through the mitzvah asays. So there, they bring from the Rambam, the Ein Chiv Mechias HaMalek al Kol Yachim Yisrael, Ella al HaKlal. The mitzvah of Mechias HaMalek is not an individual's mitzvah. The Jewish people in general, the Tzibor, has a Chiv, has a responsibility to do this mitzvah, but no one individual person. That would come out, according to that, that a Yachid does not have a mitzvah Mechias HaMalek, and really seemingly should not do it. So, yeah, this is not on your bucket list of things to do if you're a yachid, right? A bucket of cement, that is, right? This is not on anything that you have to do, right? You're not responsible for Jimmy Hoffa, right? What you have to do, right? This is a chiyuv on the tzibur. The tzibur has to do this. Really, based on that, they have to explain this Ger HaMoleki that David HaMelech killed was only because he was a Moed Ber Malchus, he was a Rotzeach, but not based on the Din of HaMelech, because seemingly even David HaMelech wouldn't be able to do this. This is a communal Chiv, not an individual Chiv.
It's also an if.
Yes. Yes.
It's also very much an if then type of.
Yes. Additionally, another rishon, the Yireim, Sefer Yireim brings down, the mitzvah mechias amalek mutalas al melech v'lo al shayi Yisrael. That the mitzvah mechias amalek specifically only applies to a king, but not on the rest of Klal Yisrael. This maybe is a spin-off of the Rambam. The Rambam is saying it's a communal responsibility. The Yerayim is saying he's not necessarily defined as a communal responsibility, but the responsibility rests on the shoulders of the king and only the king. Now, this would justify David HaMelech potentially doing it. Interestingly, this Shita of the Urayim comes up. I'll show you. If you look in the last few lines of the second to last paragraph on the bottom, this is a tshuva from Rav Volzner. He brings, there's a brisa in the Gemara Sanhedrin. Gimel mitzvos nitzav Yisrael b'chenisin la'eretz limnos melech limnos beis amigdosh v'achrisu zara shal amalek. There are three mitzvos that the Jewish people commanded upon entering Eretz Yisrael. One of them is to appoint a king. One of them is to build a beis amigdosh. And up there were those two big mitzvos of appointing a king and building a beis amigdosh. Right up there is Mechias Amalek. Hachat Zarash Amalek. And the Pashtus and all those are not individual mitzvos. Those are all Tzibor mitzvos. Those are maybe mitzvos, you know, once you have a king, he has the chiv to build the base of Mekdash. He has the chiv to wipe out Amalek. They say this will also potentially come to play Be'ezras Hashem Yimos HaMashiach. We're going to have a king, Melech HaMashiach, we're going to have Be'ezras Hashem and Beis HaMikdash be rebuilt, and also the Melech HaMashiach will have to finish off, maybe it will be on your bucket list, but the mitzvah of wiping out Amalek is something that Melech HaMashiach will finish off. So he's the closer, literally. So you see from here, there's a three-way machlokas rishonim. The Chinuch says every individual person has a chiyuv to do Mechias Amalek. So it would be on your bucket list. The other two shitas, the Rambam saying it's a communal chiyuv, so no one person could do it by themselves. It's a communal responsibility. And the Urayim that's saying it's specifically a responsibility on the shoulders of a king, that it wouldn't be relevant to individual people. Now, yes?
So today, when we have a Jewish state, Eretz Yisrael, so we actually have a government that responsibility falls on their shoulders for protecting Eretz Yisrael, we don't know what level we're at in terms of this leading to Yimos HaMashiach. So is the obligation on or not? And when these Rabbanim wrote their Perush, they had no idea that we'd ever have a Jewish state before Mashiach would come.
Right. You know, the unfortunate, you know, reality that was brought, the question that was raised was, okay, does the state of Israel have an obligation to wipe out Amalek? You know, it's, yeah, the state of Israel is, you know, a big bracha that we have the ability to live in Eretz Yisrael, but we don't necessarily view the state of Israel as the halachic epitome of what it means to be a Jewish state. But yeah, I don't know. In Netanyahu's mind, deciding if he should strike, you know, Iran, you know, we could talk, does that have anything to do with Amalek? Maybe it's, you know, yeah. But not Pashat. He definitely doesn't have a din of a melech, even though they call him King Bibi. Sorry, that's not a din of a melech. Now, What comes out, I believe, of these three shitos is it's a major machlokas rishonim. It does an individual have a responsibility to kill out to, I have to be careful what I say, with Mechias Amalek. Now, what really this does, it lends a question on the opening story. To say that some Rav felt that he was mekayim this mitzvah of Mechias Amalek, okay, according to the Chinuch, that might be true. But do we paskin like the Chinuch? What about the Rambam Shita? Most of the time we go after the Rambam. The Rambam says it's only on the Tzibur. The Yireim says it's only on the Melech. So does it really apply to individuals? Now, I made a list. I made a hit list of what I found in rabbinic literature. There are three big name gedolim over the ages who claim to be have been mekayim this mitzvah of mechias amalek in modern times. Number one, I found the Chassam Sofer. Gives you new respect, huh? The Chassam Sofer in Pressburg. The Chassam Sofer claimed to have been mekayim this mitzvah of mechias amalek. Reb Chaim Volozhin. Luben said it might even be found in the Kar Baruch, the historic sefer. But Chaim Volozhin was also supposedly involved with such an event. And the famous story that we just quoted before about Rav Gusman. All these stories, how do you understand them through the lens of the fact that it's only the sheet of the Chinuch that says you're allowed to do it? What about the Rambam? What about the Urayim? We go with the Chinuch. Suffolk Nefashos Lahakal. I don't know. But I'll show you some very interesting ideas. I found further upon research, there's a memra, there's a statement that's quoted in circles from the Brisker Rav. Excuse me, from going back before, one generation earlier. Chaim Brisker, right? One generation? Right? Chaim Brisker supposedly said the following idea, that not only is Amalek, this is a question Harvey just asked before, is Amalek one particular nation that child after child, ben after ben, has this status for generations? Or does it go beyond that? Chaim Brisker, the Shmua says, is any enemy of the Jews, someone who's an enemy of the Jews, has the din of Amalek. Now that's a pretty far-reaching statement. Especially, right? Yeah, there's no room in that elevator, right? It's according to Reb Chaim Brisker's statement, as is, it seems it applies to anyone who hates the Jews. And really, this interpretation could also be found in two other Svarim. If you look in the Sefer Hamak Dover by the Nitziv, in Sefer Shemos, Perak Yud Zayin, Pasuk Yud Dal, I didn't put all these Marmar Gemaras on. At least I'll give you the quote, as well as Rabbi Chanan Wasserman in his Kovetz Mamarim. I found it in the ones after Yevamos, 10th one over there. But Rabbi Chanan Wasserman in both the Netziv, I'll tell you, Tzvi Berlin. So I was about to say Rabbi Chaim Brisker, the Nitziv, and Rabbi Chanan Wasserman all say that Amalek is not limited to child after child nationality. It applies to people who have a hatred of the Jews. Now, that's a pretty expansive definition. I saw within the Brisker circles, some of them debate, could Rabbi Chaim Volozhin, did Rabbi Chaim Brisker really say this or not? I saw Rav Sternbach in his Svarim Odom Muzmanim brings this, seemingly accepts it. Seems like the Netziv Rabbi Chanan understood it like this. I think Rabbi Chanan even talks about quoting the Chavetz Chaim. So there definitely are Rabbanim that have the opinion that Amalek is not even limited to one particular nation. It's people have a hatred for the Jewish people. Now, then I guess you would have a Shaila. Let's say, okay, they have a hatred for the Jewish people. Let's say their grandkid doesn't. So would they fit into that category? Not. Is hereditary that way? I don't know. Yes? So that's a very, very interesting question. You're right. According to this broader definition, what Yankee's asking, according to this broader definition of Amalek, if Amalek does apply to beyond, let's call it the Amalek nation, but it also applies to the haters of the Jewish people. So yeah, all the Day of Hater Rangers, right? The guy in Defense League, the neo-Nazis, all these types of people would fall into this category of Amalek. And seemingly, yeah, it would be not so simple for them to be Megayer. You're right.
Why would they want to be?
Huh? If we just overwhelm them with...
Is there not a theory of Shuba?
Huh?
Can they do Shuba?
So we will talk about this. Yes?
That was sort of what I was going to ask. But Louis asserted there's a way to do Shuba. So 5 minutes ago, he was a Malik. Now he's not.
Yes.
Also, if you look in the Urayim, the second half of what he says.
Yeah.
It's only during Mashiach or Achar Kibush Haaretz. So
right. It's a din in the Melech. So right. At certain times.
Would that, is he saying for everything or legabe?
No. Even for Mechias Amalek. Right.
But according to him, there would be no chiyuv at all nowadays.
Correct. Right. So again, you see from here, I'm taking you to both extremes. On the one hand, who is Amalek? You could find shitas that anyone who has real hatred of Jewish people fits into that category, not just one particular nation. That's the extreme of how far-reaching the definition of Amalek could be. But in terms of the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek, you can see it be narrowly limited to the Urayim Shita, as Rachmiel pointed out. It will be only a melech has authority to do it, and only, yeah, within the time frame when the melech is involved with Kibush Haaretz, building a base of Middash, these things would be allowed to do it. Beyond that, not. Or the Rambam Shita, that it's a tzibur's responsibility. It's not on any one individual. So then that will seem limiting, that literally put handcuffs on a person. Yeah, it's not on you to be doing this mitzvah Mechias Amalek. Huh?
What does that mean?
But I'll show you a interesting psak. Now, this Shabbos coming up is Parsha Zachar. And we gave a share last year, the year before, famous major issue, do women have to hear Parsha Zachar? One of the reasons brought down why women do not have to hear Parsha Zachar is Parsha Zachar is a mitzvah on men, because men go out to war, women do not. And therefore, since women do not go out for war, again, halachic issues, right? Since women do not go out to war, so mamela, women are exempt from the mitzvah of Parsha Zachar. Parsha Zachar is a prelude to those who have the responsibility to go out to war. So a very interesting question I saw raised back in Europe. Shaul Tshuva's Binyan Shlomo was brought here. I found in Deer Shoes Ha'aros on the Mishnah Berurah. What about a Kohen? Kohen normally wouldn't go out to war. So falling through from that logic, women are exempt because they don't go out to war. So you tell me a Kohen doesn't have to hear Parsha Zachar? Now a Levi, yes. But a Kohen, someone who's going out to war, okay, Cohen's not in that category. So is this a good exemption? Kohanim don't have to hear Parsha Zachar. Parsha Zachar is the most important laning of the year. It's the only Daraisa. So you're telling me Kohanim don't have to hear it? So look where Reb Chaim Kanievsky writes. You see it in print. It's the third line of the Dirshu, Mar Makom Dalid on the sheets. Hagoyin Reb Chaim Kanievsky, who, by the way, his Yurtzeit's coming up on Shushan Purim, his first Yurtzeit. Hora, he paskin v'alacha, shekivim shim yizdamin liyadayim Amaleki, b'lo melchama. If Amaleki comes to the hands of a Jew, of a Kohen, even not Shas melchama, he mitzuvim lahargo. There would be within the mitzvah to do a machiyah, a wiping out. That's why Kohanim have to hear Parsha Zachar. Since if a Kohen would have a situation, he's in a dark alley with Amaleki, now's his chance to do the mitzvah. Memela, there's a chiyuv for Kohanim to hear Parsha Zachar. That means Reb Chaim Kanievsky is coming out with the tzad that, yeah, it is an individual mitzvah. Even for a Kohen. Huh?
Any woman could be in that same situation too.
No, but women don't have the mitzvah of Chiyas Amal.
I understand, but what I'm saying is,
yeah,
any woman could have that same situation too.
But why not?
Or the Amaleki could probably be.
Yeah, now, right. Now, of course, there's a concept, I want to make clear. Of course, there's a concept, if a person is ever in a challenging situation, Habal Harcha, Hashkin Vahargo, Hashem even applies to a Jew. If someone's threatening to take one's life, you're allowed preemptively defend oneself and save oneself. So of course, yeah, that those situations, of course you could do it. Here we're talking even without one's life being in danger. There's a mitzvah of Machias Amalek. Chaim Kanievsky is saying practically it's still relevant today, and that's why Kohen would also, he doesn't go out to war, but if he's in a situation, it is on his bucket list. I'll tell you, there's a funny story. I heard this from my Luban years ago. You know, back in the days, even in my days, in the yeshiva was in Forest Hills, which, relatively speaking, was, you know, a nice upscale neighborhood in Queens. But, you know, we still had problems with shkatzim, we use those words. And, you know, they'll be, you know, they used to go after us, you know. There was a park across the street from yeshiva. There used to be issues. So in Williamsburg, when one Jew has issues, you use one Yiddish word, and it solves all your problems. Chapsim! Chapsim literally means grab them, but it's a phrase. Can you give us a chapsim? A chapsim. A chapsim. Right? You got to say it with the right, right? Yiddish accent. But if you say chapsim, mamish, they come running. And you know now they officially have thugs, they have shomrim, they have, you know, guys that, but Chapsin, in Queens, we didn't use such Yiddish, but, you know, there were rumbles, you know, they never knew, you mess with one, two Jewish kids in the park across the street, there's a whole base medish full of guys, you know, that you could go get. It seems, you know, there were times things got really, you know, nasty, right? Luban tells stories. I was in charge of the baseball bats. right? I have to be careful what I say. Where Luban said he was the equipment manager. You know, like the hot soul guy bringing out his bag? Right? Luban brought out the bag. Right? But Luban brought out the baseball bats. That's what he said. And there were stories. There's a story of a guy who, after doing a number, it was a black belt in karate, doing a number on somebody. Next thing he knew, he was visiting a yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael for the rest of his mind. By Maven Yavin. Like, these are not, you know, look, you know, we were taught that you have to stand your ground. And obviously, you can't do stupid things, but Lamaisa, sometimes people need to be taught a lesson. And there was a maisa that there was a rumble going on by yeshiva. And I was actually going to call this person. I'm very close to this person. I was going to call him up. One of these older yidden come out of the base medrash. Like, this is a person who mamish, like, you know, daven's an hour-long shmon asrei. And, like, the most edel, skinny, you know, white-bearded man comes out. And, you know, he sees the rumble. I found what you might know of the story. And they say this older yid in his heyday was a boxer. Yeah. But anyway, they had some guy there on the floor. And he says, "Hitting Mulchim Zum Lakai Mitzvah Machias Amalek." Yes, you have to be smart. Maskim. But the Italians of yesteryear in Forest Hills, this is what went down. And I was going to call him up to ask him, did you really think you were kind of the mitzvah, mechias amolek, or shot? Right? I could have called his kids. His kids would be like, so I should call them after the share. I didn't have a chance. But they'd be very into the show. But Rabbi Luban told us a story. Both of these stories I heard from Rabbi Luban. So it's a good source. Right? See, Harvey's careful. If he came to the share today, I'd be in trouble. But look, it's a machlokas rishonim. There's only the sheet of the chinuch is that it does apply to individuals. The Rambam, the Yerim say not. Okay, now let's talk about Geiris. And really, my Flamas, you brought up this kasha. I gave a whole share on this the other night too. Very interesting kasha, especially for Purim. The Gemara in Gittin talks about improbabilities, things you never think would happen. One of the things the Gemara in Gittin, Daf Nun Zayinam Bei, says that B'nei Banov Shal Haman were Lamdu Torah B'nei Brak. Haman's grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren, was sitting and learning B'nei Brak, in Kol Chazanish, before that. They were learning in B'nei Brak. And the question begs, but time out, if you know someone is a Amalek, clear Haman was direct descendant of Agag, he for sure is a Amalek. Seemingly that means his kids are a Amalek. We said, we quoted, there's a Mechilta, it's on top of your page, of the, not the, Os Hay, in the middle of the page. In Parshat B'Shalach, we see Mechamas Hashem B'Amalek Midor Dor, She Mekabim Gerim Klal Me'Amalek. We never accept Gerim from Amalek. V'Am Rinan Shlo Yiniach, Nin V'Necha Tachas HaShemayim La'Amalek. There shouldn't be left a kid, a grandkid, anyone from Amalek. And we learn from here, to wipe them out, Kol Shekin, you can't bring them into Klal Yisrael. So one is not allowed to be Megayer or Amalek. So how do we understand how Haman's great-grandkids were sitting and learning Torah? Don't tell me there were Gentiles learning Torah, because we don't do that. We don't teach them Torah. So how are Haman's great-great-grandkids sitting there? And there are different answers. There's one answer he found that they must have taken off their Hamantash, their triangle hats. They snuck into Bezdin. Bezdin didn't realize who they were. They're Megayer them. Once they're Megayer, so the halacha is, Gerish and Nisgayer could cut and Shanolodami. Once you have a Gerus, you're a new person. So once they're in, they got their foot in the door. Right? Kakasha. Yeah. But that's one answer people give. Another answer, they say, is if anywhere mixed in, you know, it says, who said this is Haman's son's, from the genealogy of a son? Could have been from Haman's daughter. And even though by Judaism we define the person's status of being a Jew by the mother, by Gentiles it goes after the father. So if this was a descendant of Haman through his daughter, it wouldn't have been of Amalek. And therefore, they would be allowed to marry into Klal Yisrael. It's another answer that's given. But they struggle with understanding, okay, how do you understand that Gemara? Not so simple. What I would like to deal with in the next 5 minutes is you look in the next Mar Malkum, in the Oz Vav, where Vosner, the Posek for B'nai Brak, I don't think it's B'nai Banav Shal Haman, though they do say who the B'nai Banav of Haman were. You never would believe. But that's for a different day. There's a Kabbalah, there's a tradition, Mehagraf, in the Vilna Gaon, that are Germanim, Heim, Mishorish Amalek. The Germans, forget about, because they hate Jews. In the lineage itself, Germans are Amalek. There's a Kabbalah from the Vilna Gaon of such a thing. And I even came across a story that the Kaiser of Germany came to Eretz Yisrael in 1898. That was already the time that Talmidei Agra already were living there, And in the early Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael, they had Yidden living there. And the question was, should people go out and greet the Kaiser? Should they greet him, this German Kaiser? And most of the Rabbanim of those times said yes. Shalom Malchus, we have to go. Except one person didn't. Happened to be one of the chief Rabbanim of Yerushalayim, of Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld. Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld had a Mesorah from his Rebbe, Rabbi Shua Leib Diskin, who seemingly traced it back to the Vilna Gaon, that the Germans were Amalek, and how could they go show kavod to Amalek? And he did not go. But this is a Mesorah, this idea about Germans being Amalek is not so crazy, especially, you know, when you think of what they pulled off, which no other nation did the atrocities as much as they did. It's mind-boggling. And, okay, understanding it's part of a picture of Amalek, you know, gives us a different understanding of what the mitzvah Mechias Amalek is. But anyway, the Shaila is, can a German person wants to be Megayer, would we accept him? And Rav Volzner over here in the Tshuva concludes that you would. And I think this is the formative halacha, this is the way people paskin. He gives a couple of reasons. Firstly, in general, we don't know nowadays, even way back from the Navi's times, from Sancheira's times, in general for Yichus issues, we say we don't know who a Mitzri is, we don't know who an Ammoni is, a Moavi. The nations are all mixed up. So to say that we know this is Amalek is very not simple. Okay? But the Gra says, we know there's a Kabbalah. He knows that the Germans, there were certain Simanim. He knew that they were Amalek. So he ends up paskening. He says, okay, but Lemaisa, the Rambam says, anyway, it's not a responsibility in individuals, it's responsibility in the Tzibar. And he utilizes that as a tzad, that we don't have to be choshes, as sex fakos, does this really apply, does it not apply? And Rav Volzner is comfortable accepting a German to be Megayer. He says, if you do have a person who you could somehow define clear is Amaleki, he says, then I would be nervous, and he would be choshes for the sheet of the chinuch. But practically speaking, Rav Volzner does come out, despite the Mesorah from the Gra, this Kabbalah from the Gra, that we would accept German people as Gerim. I actually know somebody whose daughter married a German Ger. Mr. Volzner says, you don't have to worry about anything. He's asking that.
Yeah, but cases where the grandfather was an SS man.
Yeah.
And the grandson converts.
There's a beautiful... There's a person, Rabbi Usher Wade. He's actually a very popular Torah of Yad Vashem, given to us by Rabbi Usher Wade. You can check him up. He was to be a German priest. And the fascinating story, after learning and going through, you know, he became a Holocaust scholar and went through things, and it led him to have questions about his faith. And he researched and wasn't happy with the answers, and he was Megayer. And they accepted him, the German. So, B'nai Ban of Shul Haman, Alam the Torah B'nai Brak, and B'nai Ban of Shul Hitler, Yimach Shemo, are also learning Torah, according to this. So, I think this is quite an interesting topic. Again, bucket list, I'm not sure it should be on there, different shitas, you know. But L'maisa, it's an interesting part of Torah that is quite relevant for this time of year, whether we know it, or sometimes our enemies remind us of it too. We should all be zochet to have a safe, uneventful week, and Bez Hashem, hope to have a share about Purim next Sunday. Thank you very much for coming.